I think the overwhelming majority, if not all, of the so-called alternative schooling systems pertaining to medicine, whether it's chiropractic school, traditional Chinese medicine school, naturopathy, whatever it is, are also coming from a severely flawed biochemical basis for how the human body works. So to answer your question, I'd say that we're just scratching the surface on what it truly means to be a human being, on our true potential, and on our true power, again, individually and collectively.
Welcome to today's interview here on brightvideos.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon, now Bright Videos, because Bright Videos is not censored by X. Not yet, but maybe after our guest today, it will be. I'm not sure. We've got Alex Zeck joining us. He's an influencer, a podcaster. He's into a number of things. He's organized an event on regenerative agriculture and much more. His website is called, well, his podcast is called The Way Forward. We'll give out the specifics of the website URL later, but welcome to the show, Alec. It's an honor to have you on today.
It's an honor to be here, Mike. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, this is the first time that we've ever met, actually, and I don't know why it's taken so long, because you and I are into so many of the same things, and I see you as a critical thinker. You're an independent thinker. You're not fooled by the stuff that's going on out there. And you're also kind of pissed off at what's going on in the world right now, but you're looking for better solutions to share with people. So we are on the same, you know, wavelength doing all of that. But for our audience, why don't you give us a little bit of background of who you are and what you do?
Yeah, I'll try to be brief with this. There's a much longer explanation. But so I grew up in a pretty chaotic, tumultuous environment, and because of the nature of my parents' relationship, my mom was prescribed multiple psychotropic medications back when I was around 13, 14 years old. And we were just doing what we thought was best because we thought the doctors knew best. And for nearly 10 years, she was under the care of these different psychiatrists who were prescribing her multiple benzodiazepines and SSRIs. And by the time 2016 came around, I was a senior at the United States Military Academy at West Point, about to commission as an Army officer, and we were looking at permanently institutionalizing my mom. And by chance, she was seeing a therapist in one of her sort of up moments that was reading a new book that had just come out called A Mind of Your Own by Dr. Kelly Brogan. And Kelly still had her practice in New York at the time, so my mom made an appointment to go see Kelly, and that changed the whole trajectory of my mom's life. And then my wife, who I'd just gotten married to after commissioning as an Army officer, was under the care of multiple rheumatologists the entire time that I had known her for multiple quote unquote autoimmune conditions, and was chronically ill. And after seeing my mom begin to drastically heal, adopting what the mainstream calls pseudoscience and quackery, we decided to try the same approach with my wife. And in a matter of a few months, she drastically healed. And so seeing these two real world scenarios where two people that I loved were under the care of the conventional allopathic system and were chronically ill, my mom almost dying, drastically heal by adopting just a natural approach to health, what the mainstream calls pseudoscience and quackery, put me in a lot of cognitive dissonance. So I had just become an officer in the Army, just graduated from West Point, what I now call the world's preeminent government indoctrination camp. So I started going down all the rabbit holes. And by the time 2020 came around, I had already done so much research on a variety of things that I could kind of see what was coming without, really knowing exactly how it would pan out, but I could just see the writing on the wall, so to speak. And I started using my platform while I was still an officer in the Army at the time in 2020 to just share my perspective, which was really risky. And I ended up getting out of the Army in 2021. And this is sort of what I do now. So I'd like to say that, to borrow a line from a mentor of mine, Dr. Larry Pilevsky, I've just followed the proverbial bouncing ball of life, and my real life experience has showed me a better way to do things with respect to health on the individual level, the collective level, our relationship with nature, our relationship with each other, and our relationship to authority and government as well. So that's kind right. of what has led me to this position.
So if people listen to your podcast, what kind of topics can they expect to hear and see?
Oh my gosh. I would say that, to summarize it as best I can, it's classified as alternative health, but I actually cannot stand that term because it's not alternative. This is the ancient way of health that human beings, whether it was Ayurveda, traditional Chinese medicine, or a variety of other health approaches from across the world, have thrived for years and years and years. But with that being said, I cover stuff related to natural sort of holistic health, but also libertarian, anarcho-capitalist, voluntarist philosophy, ancient history, consciousness, some sort of esoteric spiritual topics, a good variety of things. And I'd like to say that it's, we look at the current trajectory of mankind right now, and there seems to be a massive split occurring. And there are a lot of people that know that there are a lot of issues with the mainstream paradigm, but don't know of a better way to do things.
Uh-huh.
And we like to showcase predominantly a better way of doing things in all facets of life, a different sort of more harmonious, coherent approach to life on the individual and collective level. So that's typically what we cover, and it spans a variety of things.
So what's extraordinary about what you do, and I'm just assuming you must have uncovered many, many cases of the suppression of knowledge of indigenous medical systems, for example, of natural health alternatives, of energy medicine, different medical systems from Tibetan medicine to Amazonian to traditional Chinese medicine. I mean, it just goes on and on. And we live in the West, we live under a system of organized suppression of human knowledge. Google, I call it an anti-knowledge engine. It's not a search engine. But what have you seen along this way? Or what's your big picture about what I just said? Like, how much knowledge about health and healing has actually been covered up, lost, or suppressed in Western civilization?
I'll tell you the degree to which I think it's been covered up. I think the overwhelming majority, if not all, of the so-called alternative schooling systems pertaining to medicine, whether it's chiropractic school, traditional Chinese medicine school, naturopathy, whatever it is, are also coming from a severely flawed biochemical basis for how the human body works. So to answer your question, I'd say that we're just scratching the surface on what it truly means to be a human being, on our true potential, and on our true power, again, individually and collectively. So I don't even think we realize how much we've been conditioned to believe that we're limited, that our body's broken, that we require man-made symptom suppressing chemicals and things like this.
Well, I think you're right that, for example, naturopathy in America has become what's called green allopathy. It's still an allopathic approach, right? There's a symptom and then there's a molecule that treats the symptom. But I think if you go back far enough, if you go back into ancient traditional Chinese medicine, you know, it's an energetic system, the flow of qi, right? And also Native American medicine and, you know, Native Tibetan medicine, and even Aborigine Australian medicine, for example, they believed in spirit. They believed in the mind, body, the soul connection, and how health is, physical health is an expression of psychic health, mental health, spiritual health. You want to speak to that for a moment?
Yeah, I'll give you an example of that. So the Kiro people of Peru, which is an indigenous lineage coming from Peru, they talk about what's called the Causa Pacpo, which is their descriptive term for the quote unquote energy bubble that surrounds and permeates the human body. Now, in modern times, we call that the human biofield. That's actually a term coined by the National Institute of Health. Funny enough, my logo that's just behind me, that could be a top view representation of the human biofield. So it's the energetic field, the electromagnetic field, and consisting of other fields, so to speak, like things like scalar waves and unmeasurable fields that permeates and surrounds the human body. And I think the thing that interests me most nowadays, which I'm really excited to discuss this, is how that field relates to water of our bodies and water that permeates all facets of reality, sort of interplaying between our human biofield with ether and water, and how that relates to the quote-unquote control structures that the government and the media have sort of set up, and how they're manipulating us through that to help enable them to continue their agendas. But how we can sort of flip that to come back to a more coherent position within ourselves and with the collective.
So we have to, this is so great that I can go so deep with you on these topics, but I've done experiments here in my lab and in my studio about the consciousness of the structured formation of images as xylitol crystals are freezing in real time at room temperature, that the interaction between conscious intent actually affects the images that are sketched out in the xylitol. Now, that's kind of the same experiment as Dr. Emoto and water, right?
Yep.
The messages from water. I basically recreated that using xylitol because I didn't want to sit in a freezing room. And xylitol freezes very slowly, so you can watch it under a microscope. I've got videos of this. I've published many, many images. People freak out. They can't even believe it's possible because I've got xylitol sketching out like rams and B-2 stealth bombers flying over the desert as clear as day. People are like, that's not possible. It couldn't be possible. Oh, but it is. That's the thing. So our consciousness impacts everything, especially near us, water, other molecules, like I mentioned, you know, simple sugars, et cetera. Can you speak to this and what is yet to be discovered about the fact, about this interaction between consciousness and 3D physical structure?
So Veda Austin, I'd like to say that she is taking the work of Dr. Masaru Emoto and other water researchers and expanding upon it and making it more accessible to lay men and women. And what I mean by that is Veda's method to sort of demonstrate, I would say pretty conclusively, for lack of a better term, I would say that this doesn't have any peer-reviewed studies backing it at this point, but in terms of being repeatable and observable, her method that I'll get into in a second is being taught to other people across the world, both on Zoom and in in-person workshops, and they're getting the exact same results that Veda is getting repeatedly. And Veda herself has over 40,000 documented examples of the method that I'm about to share. So essentially what Veda does is she takes water in a petri dish and will set it over the top of an image or a written word, no matter the language, or set it next to a song that's playing, or set it next to a painting, or set it next to her bedside at night and set the intention for water to sort of show what she's dreaming about.
Right.
Or set it just next to her as she's feeling a really deep emotion, or even have a friend thousands of miles away think of something very specific with the intention to project what they're thinking about onto the water that Veda's holding. So then Veda will take that water and freeze it using this unique freezing method, meaning that she freezes it for a certain amount of time. And then visible to the naked eye in the ice is water's own artistic interpretation of what it was just exposed to. And I'll just share some examples. So this is one of, again, tens of thousands of examples that Veda has documented. I want to emphasize again that she is teaching this in workshops virtually and in person where people are getting the exact same results. And it gets pretty specific too, which I'll share at the end. But here's an example. This is a photo of a face. Veda set water in a petri dish over the top of the face. And you can see very clearly in the frozen imagery and the ice's response, what she calls crystallography, is a profile image of that exact face. And then again, written number 4. And then on the right side there is ice's response very clearly in number 4. Again, a photo of a braid, ice's response of a braid. Ginkgo leaves, ice's response. An amethyst pyramid set in the water, ice's response there very clearly, triangle pyramid shape. Her son's hand, ice's response there. And it goes on and on and on to the point that, I'm going to go ahead and stop sharing just for a second. I'll bring up some more later. To the point that Veda has documented what she calls hydroglyphs. Now, hydroglyphs, and I don't remember the exact number that is required, but if Veda tends to see the same image, the same sort of pattern displayed in the ice over and over again, let's say if she writes the word gratitude, whether it's in English or in Mandarin or in Spanish, if it's a picture that's representing gratitude, if it's a song that is embodying or expressing gratitude in the lyrics, or if she herself is feeling gratitude, when she takes that water and freezes it, it will show a 6-pointed leaf consistently. So she's identified that that is water's symbol for gratitude. And she's identified a number of these hydroglyphs, I think over 30 at this point. I don't remember the exact number. But the point is, it's so specific that, again, other people are repeating and getting the same results, getting the same hydroglyphs in their crystallography. So it seems to be that water has its own sort of language. And now what I like to think about with respect to this is what Daniel Roitis, I don't know if you've had him on your show yet, but I highly recommend interviewing him. He just wrote a book recently within the last 2 years called Can You Catch a Cold?
I interviewed him recently, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in tremendous book, and Daniel is such an incredible human being, so brilliant. And towards the end of his book, as he's describing other possible explanations for the phenomenon colloquially known as contagion. And I want to differentiate here. So there is no evidence, and Daniel covers this extensively, as have a number of people. There is no evidence that healthy people become sick when exposed to sick people or their bodily fluids. In his book, Daniel covers over 200 attempts at demonstrating this throughout history. And in the most frequently occurring result is that zero contagion is demonstrated. Now, in those studies where two or more people did get sick in the same space, they didn't account for the placebo-nocebo effect. They didn't have a control group. And in no case was there an actual infectious particle identified, whether a virus or a bacteria. Obviously, bacteria and fungi do exist, but that's a whole separate category. And in no case was a double-blind randomized placebo control trial conducted. But what's interesting is when Daniel goes into the other possible explanations for this phenomenon of two or more people getting sick in the same space, he highlights a number of examples of what are called mass psychogenic illness or mass social contagion. So just to give an example of one of them, this one stands out. It's really incredible. So in New Zealand in 2017, an antidepressant had just gone off patent, which meant that a bunch of companies could make their own generic version of it. Now, one of the generic versions of this antidepressant, a lot of people began reporting adverse events related to it. And there are 27 common adverse events being reported across the board to whatever New Zealand's adverse events reporting system is. The mainstream media decided to run a story on this off-label antidepressant that was causing adverse events. And for whatever reason, they decided to only share 6 of the 27 common adverse events that people were experiencing when they're broadcasting this message to the masses.
Uh-huh.
What then followed was adverse events reports skyrocketed by, I think, 370 or 470% or something like this.
But only for those 6.
Only in those 6 that the mainstream media had reported on.
Of course.
And Daniel highlights countless examples of this in his book. Okay, so now going back to the water thing, where my mind goes, and again, this is pure speculation, but if what Veda is indicating has any relevance, and then there's a whole separate category related to water, researchers like Dr. Gilbert Ling, who has unfortunately passed away, and then of course, Dr. Gerald Pollack, who I'm sure you're familiar with fourth phase water. We can set that aside and come back to it if we want to. But what just Veda's work alone and Dr. Masaru Emoto's work alone indicates that water will change its physical orientation based on what it was just exposed to physically or metaphysically. And again, Veda has demonstrated this repeatedly with respect to, for example, what I like to call thought energy, thought and feeling when aligned. What's interesting is Veda has said, and this is according to her own experimentation, if you will, that if you just try to think something and impress it upon water, but you're feeling something different, water is not going to impress. Water is not going to change its physical orientation. It's going to go with what you're feeling, which lends credence to the idea that our thoughts are sort of electric and our feelings are more magnetic and emitted through our field, if you will. So thought energy is what I like to describe as when our thoughts and feelings are aligned, for better or for worse. So if water permeates our body, we're 70% water by weight, 99% water molecularly, for lack of a better term, and water permeates all of biology, and water permeates basically all facets of reality. Given what Veda is sharing, given the countless examples of mass psychogenic illness, mass social contagion, and given on the flip side of that, a phenomenon known as the Maharishi effect, which I can get into in a minute, is it that far-fetched to think that the primary or one of the main ways that the powers that shouldn't be, or the parasitic class, whatever you want to call them, is able to carry out their agendas is by getting us, the collective, the rest of society, to collectively focus our thought energy on them to where our body is actually responding physiologically. And then maybe not only our body responding physiologically, given that thought energy has been shown to impact water, and given water permeates all facets of reality, the likelihood, or the possibility rather, that our thought energy individually and collectively when aligned actually has measurable effects on the nature of reality itself, to where if we're all focusing on one thing collectively, we actually bring forth the conditions for that thing to continue and to occur in reality.
Well, 100%. That's exactly what is happening. And I've got to share this with you, because it's more than water. Now, I wasn't even familiar with Mrs. Austin's work when I started this experiment, not quite a year ago, but it was June 1st that I sat down. And can you show my screen? Yeah, do you see that screen?
No, I don't see it yet. I see it now.
Okay, so this is a xylitol that I heated and melted, put on a piece of plastic, and then I simply wrote a prompt by hand. Depict the scenes of summer 2025 in the Middle East, encompassing geopolitics, war, commodities, finance, and humanity. So I just wrote a prompt. Okay, now it's xylitol, not water, because I knew that xylitol can freeze at room temperature. Guess what it sketched out? First, it sketched out a one-horned ram on the right there. And the one-horned ram, the ram is key in Islam. The lack of one horn indicates a decapitation of the leadership, which is exactly what happened 2 weeks later in Iran. But it gets more. Then it sketched out this falcon perched in a branch surrounded by flames, a falcon with a white face. You can see the claws. You can see the feather pattern. There's a falcon on the left. I didn't even know what's a falcon all about. And then I had to look it up. Turns out the falcon is the bird of Persia. All falconry originated in Persia. So this was telling me that Persia would be surrounded by flames, but the leadership of Iran would survive the attack. And then I did other experiments. I put froze or melted xylitol on a circuit board here, and it sketched out microchips and a circuit board with the exact shape. And I actually have, I can bring this to you. I can show this to you. Of course, this is zoomed in like 300x, by the way. So these are really small. Same thing with what Veda is doing.
Well, what's crazy is Veda is with an iPhone, but still, the point still stands.
Okay.
Like, the point still absolutely stands.
And there's more to this. See, there's the Falcon. Let's see. Stealth bombers. Then it sketched out freaking stealth bombers flying over the desert.
Wow.
Yeah, with flames over the desert dunes, even like little bomb fragments down here, etc. And that's a piece of dust that fell on the xylitol right there. So it's sketching out, and then it sketched out Tel Aviv. These buildings in Tel Aviv that were taking missiles from Iran. This later became broadcast. 2 weeks later, it was broadcast on. To the world, and I don't have it side by side, but there's a building that looked exactly like this that was in the foreground as missiles were coming down out of the sky in the background. So what this showed me, and again, like, nobody understood this, Alec. You understand it, but nobody else understood it. What this shows is that there is a level of consciousness in physical matter where it can also perceive, it can remote view the future.
Yeah.
And it can sketch it today.
Yeah, it's incredible.
I mean, and folks, how could I make this up? I'm not making it up. I've saved the slides. I can show you under a microscope. But anyway, that's my experience. And after that, I found out about Veda, how do you say her name?
Veda Austin.
After that, I found out about Veda because I did an interview with some other guys from Austin who were like, oh, you got to talk to her. I found out about her, but I haven't had her on the show yet. But we are doing the same thing, just in different medium.
Yeah. And it almost leaves you speechless. Really. It does, because it's such a beautiful view into the mystery of this realm. And for me, yes, there's been a variety of things where I'm like, what are they covering up and like trying to hide from us? And that leads you down a lot of dark rabbit holes. Don't get me wrong. But when I look at this type of stuff, it leaves me with a sense of childlike wonder and awe where I'm
like, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Man, it's like, wait really a minute. Beautiful. There's way more out there.
Yes, exactly. And we've been so indoctrinated into a hyper materialistic point of view on the world, especially with modern quote unquote sciences. And this just indicates that there is so much more going on than we've ever been led to believe. I mean, we know that we only perceive with our senses 0.005% of the available electromagnetic spectrum. But what's interesting about that statement is that presupposes that human beings with our instrumentation have been able to determine what the full electromagnetic spectrum is.
Like, yes, yes.
To think that we know for sure all there is to know within this realm is absolutely absurd.
Oh, here, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I found the image. I got to show you this.
Yeah, let's see.
Okay, so on the right is what my xylitol sketched out on June 2nd or June 1st, actually. And then on June 13th, this is what was broadcast of the missiles hitting Tel Aviv. It's the exact same thing. It's a tall building.
Oh, that's uncanny. That's uncanny.
With
that's
a short incredible. Building beside it. It shows the vertical stripe. It shows the roof having a taller part. I mean, Alec, this isn't coincidence.
No.
No.
It's not.
It's knowing.
Yeah, it's knowing. It's absolutely knowing.
And the thing is, I didn't hold in my mind or my heart, you know, bombing Tel Aviv. I wasn't thinking that. I was writing a prompt of tell me what you see happening. And then the xylitol, a simple sugar. I bought it on freaking Amazon.com. Okay. A sugar becomes a sketch artist and it starts sketching out these scenes.
It's incredible.
And anyone.
It's incredible.
Yeah. But yet there's nothing in mainstream science that would accept this. They wouldn't even attempt the experiments because they would say it's impossible.
No,
but it's not. Anybody can do this.
Yeah, anyone can. And that's what I really love about what you're doing and what Veda Austin is doing is that she's teaching it in workshops across the world and people are getting the exact same results repeatedly. And it's really incredible.
Yeah.
And so like where my mind goes as it pertains to what's sort of going on in the world, especially with the whole Epstein files situation occurring right now. And I have a lot of thoughts on it at a lot of different layers, but where I sort of sit right now is a question of what happens when these files, which highlight that many politicians, world leaders, bankers, multinational corporation executives, and other quote unquote leaders amongst society have been engaging in some of the most heinous, wicked, really satanic acts imaginable, accompanied with there being expressed by this current administration, no accountability coming, no prosecutions coming, and basically they're just closing the book on it. What kind of effect does that create on the collective psyche, if you will, for the people who are pouring through and scouring through all these files?
It's psychic terrorism.
It is psychic.
That's what it is.
Terrorism. Exactly. That is a perfect term for it.
The whole point is to put out the horror and the fear into the conscious minds of everybody that's paying attention. And that's what they're doing. So even by releasing the Epstein files, they are still achieving their satanic agenda by imprinting that.
Exactly. And it's such a weird catch-22, right? Because of course we want the truth to come out, right? We want the truth to come out. But the problem is when the overwhelming majority of even quote unquote truthers don't have the self-awareness to understand what you and I understand, what we're talking about in this session right here is that what we consistently give focus to impresses upon the waters of our body and possibly, I would say very likely, the waters of reality,
yes,
thus bringing forth more conditions for that to occur. I'm not saying to spiritually bypass and completely turn away from what's being revealed right now. But the problem is that the overwhelming majority of people who are engaging with this right now don't understand emotional regulation, nervous system health, don't understand that what they perpetually give focus to gives rise for more of those conditions to occur, both again, according in their own physiology and also in possibly the nature of reality. And that's the issue right now.
Yeah.
And
Alec, let me interrupt you real quick because We're almost out of time for part one, but hold that thought because we're going to continue that in part two. But first of all, I want to give out your web address. So the podcast or the broadcast is called The Way Forward, and the website is thewayfwrd.com. So it's just a shortening of the word forward. So thewayfwrd.com. And there you can see Alex's work and his shows, his podcasts here, videos, mission, et cetera. And before we go, Alex, tell us about, you've got an event coming up as well. Tell us about that before we wrap up this half.
Yeah, so I want to first comment on just the website very briefly. So we've created, through a private membership association, a website that allows you to instantly find like-minded people near you, practitioners, farms, schools, and now we've just added restaurants as a category for all the health and freedom community wherever you are across the world. So we have a lot of members primarily in English-speaking companies or countries right now. They are ultimately companies at the end of the day, but English-speaking countries right now. But wherever you are across the world, it allows you to instantly connect with community that is local to you, that is like-minded. And I think it could evolve to be a tremendous resource for the health and freedom community.
Is that a different website?
Nope, that's thewayforward.com.
That's on the way forward. Oh, okay.
Yep,
got it.
That is on thewayforward.com. And we have members who are finding each other across the world. And it absolutely warms my heart. Members are doing meetups across the world, finding, you know, like-minded people near them. And then in addition to that, we have our annual festival called Confluence. It's kind of like a blend between a conference, farmer's market, retreat, and music festival all in one on a regenerative farm outside of San Antonio. And if you use code RANGER at checkout, I'm sure some of the information on it will be in the show notes. You can get 10% off your tickets. And we have Catherine Austin Fitz speaking this year, as well as Charles Eisenstein. We'll get Mike Adams to come speak in one of the future editions.
Wait a minute. When is that event taking place?
At the end of April. April 23rd through the 27th. Yep.
So just outside of San Antonio, Texas.
Yep.
And they can find tickets on your website?
On confluenceevent.com.
Oh, okay. Confluenceevent.com. All right. Let me just bring that up, or if I typed it correctly. Hold on. Little typo there. Hold on. Confluenceevent.com. Let's bring it up. Okay. Show my screen, please. Here we go. So here it is. Confluenceevent.com. Be more free. And this is about regenerative farming and much more, huh? Okay.
Yep.
Very cool.
Basically everything that we're covering on this and a lot more. We cover so many topics pertaining to a new yet ancient way of being, let's say.
That sounds fantastic. Okay. Awesome. So 10% off, you said, with discount code RANGER?
Yep.
Okay, cool. And that's coming up in April. Sounds great. It's good to have it in April before it gets too blazing hot in Texas.
You know? That's why we do it in April. I couldn't imagine doing it in like June or July.
Especially
because people are glamping and camping during the event.
Yeah, so that makes sense. Okay, perfect. All right. So this is part one of our interview, folks. And Alex, just stand by. We'll continue with part two. And for those of you watching, part two will get into more of the intersection of consciousness and physical reality and how we can alter our future timelines by our conscious intent. That's what we're going to go into next. And you can find part two at brightvideos.com. So thank you all for watching today. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon and Bright Videos and other platforms as well. And this continues in part two. Take care.
Stock up on the long-term storable Ranger Bucket Set. 536 servings of clean organic superfoods for your survival pantry. Certified organic and lab tested for purity. Order now at healthrangerstore.com.